do you no good to stay here and watch me. For you, I have no magic tricks to build or to sell.
Now, look, Pop, I'll pay you just as much as any magician. Maybe more.
Oh, no. Yeah, for you, I have nothing. I build a trick or an illusion for you, and what do you do with it? Expose it on the stage. Show the public how it works.
You are not a magician.
You're making it impossible for magicians to work. Get out of my shop.
No, Pop, all I want is one trick. Nobody can make them like you. A pop baker, false bottom table, looks 2 inches high to an audience. Actually, it's about 6. Nobody's as good as you, Pop.
The great Mento says nobody is as good as me. So I relent. I sell him my tricks. Oh, no. Now, not for you, Mento. No tricks.
Look, Pop. You've no real gripe against me. Okay. So I expose magic. So what?
So what, you say? Listen. 10 years ago, who was the greatest magician of them all? Who, answer me? Who?
You mean you? Well, you are pretty good.
Pretty good. From coast to coast, a headliner. My own magic show, 2 performances a day, my name in electric lights. Baker of the Baffler. Now, what do I have?
A pretty nice business. Making effects for magicians.
That compares with what I had?
Fool.
Here do I have an audience that applauds me? No. Here do I have anything except my tools, my work?
You're not blaming me for getting you off the stage, are you?
Yes. Yes, I blame you. I must blame you. Every trick I did on the stage you exposed. Soon people did not want to see me anymore. They know how my tricks are done. They laugh at me. You made them laugh at me. No, Mento. From me, you get nothing. Ever.
Sorry you feel that way, Pop. But I think you're exaggerating this a little bit, aren't you?
Oh, no. No, I'm not. I think many times of the years I was on the stage, how it was everything to me. My whole life.
Well?
You took that life away from me, Mento. Remember and be warned. You took my life from me. Maybe someday I do the same for you.
How's my makeup, Betty?
It's perfect, Mento, as you know. Just like everything else about you. Perfect.
Well, that's hardly a reason for that tone you're using, my girl. Incidentally, your makeup wasn't too good at the matinee. Too lazy? Or too much in a hurry? Which was it?
Neither. I've been with you over a year now, Mento.
So you have. And no magician ever had a prettier assistant. I am very pleased with you, Betty.
Pleased with me? That isn't the way you talked when I first joined the act.
If this is going to be a quarrel about the same old thing again, please, let it keep until after the performance. I can't work when I'm upset.
I've been upset for months and I've worked. I don't see any reason for putting this off any longer.
All right, let's have it. What is it?
When are you going to marry me, Mento?
Is that all? I thought this was going to be something important.
It was important when you tried to convince me you were in love with me. When you made me fall in love with you.
I made you fall in love with me?
Uh-huh.
Come now, Betty. There's a limit to what even a magician can do. Come on, Watt. Hand me my cape.
Here.
Folding flowers and silks are in it?
Yes, they're in the folds of the cape where they belong. Now listen, Mento. How about you and me? What have you decided?
What's the terrible rush, my dear? You know I'm fond of you.
Maybe. But Johnny Davis is in love with me. He wants to marry me.
Well, then marry him. I'll hide my broken heart and wish you two all the happiness in the world. Although what you can see in that hoofer, I don't know.
Johnny's wonderful.
Well, then you should be very happy.
Well, I'm not. You've seen to that. And, Mento, I won't forget it. But I'm not going to be unhappy alone. I'll see to it that you share some of my misery. Believe me, I will.
with it, baby. Things can't be that tough. Besides, a coffee cup isn't a crystal ball, so start staring into it.
I'm sorry, Johnny.
Had met her, you're upset, hasn't he? Maybe I ought to talk to
him. No, it won't do any good, Johnny. I tried just before we went on stage 20 minutes ago. He won't tell me anything, one way or another.
Is he in the dressing room now?
No, I suppose so. Told me he was expecting two visitors after the performance. That might be just another stall so he don't have to take me out tonight. But he went to his dressing room, I know that.
Why don't you give him up, Betty? He's only making you unhappy.
I wish I could. Without him, there's nothing.
Well, there's a precious little guy called me. I could make you happy, dear.
Yeah, I know one thing, Johnny. I know you'd try. It wouldn't be fair to you. There'd always be something missing. As long as Mentor were alive, I couldn't help but want him. Is that so wrong?
You know it is. That guy isn't happy unless he's doing something to hurt people. His fake magic act does nothing but expose tricks. He worked on you until you fell in love with him. Just so he can watch you suffer.
Yeah, and the upper part of this, Johnny, is I know all that. I know it, and I can't do anything about it.
No? Well, I guess you can't. But you said before that you'd want Mento as long as he was alive. Maybe I can do something about that.
Good show, wasn't it, Van?
Excellent, Mark. Excellent. I've always had a soft spot for Bodo. Nice of the fellow to have sent me these tickets, wasn't it?
Fellow? What fellow? I was under the impression that you'd bought them.
No. Remember that magic act that opened the second half of the bill? The great Mento?
Of course. He was very clever. And his assistant was quite pretty.
That door there leads backstage, I imagine. Come on, we're going to see him.
All right. Would it be impolite to ask why?
Hardly. As I was saying, he sent me these tickets and a note asking me to come backstage at the end of the performance. I'll get this door.
Backstage always had a fascination for me, Vance.
It has for most people, Martin. Including actors.
And private investigators.
Guilty as charged. Oh, I beg your pardon, but where is the great Mento's dressing room, please?
Second room to the right.
Thank you. Markham, to retain a semi-consistency to our conversation, I believe I was telling you about a note that this Mento sent me along with the tickets.
So you were.
It said, please see the show and come back to visit him afterward. It had a hint of intrigue.
Vance, you could find intrigue in a loaf of bread. Don't you ever get tired of looking for it?
No, and I hope I never will. It's true that many times the intrigue isn't there when I think it might be, but I don't overlook anything either. Anything that might be passed by if I hadn't investigated. Well, here we are.
Perhaps your friend didn't wait. Perhaps that, too, is part of the intrigue.
That would be interesting, Martin. Very interesting.
Well, from what I can gather, you have your choice of believing that he either didn't wait or is very dead. Vance.
Now, don't be alarmed because I'm looking through the keyhole, Markham. Perhaps it is undignified, but under the circumstances, I believe it's warranted.
And what warrants it?
The keyhole is obstructed a bit because the key is still on the inside.
Which means the door is locked from the inside, of course.
That's right. Somebody must have locked it from the inside. But nobody answers our knock. There's trouble in that room, Markham.
Well, then come on, man. Help me break down this door.
Right. Once more, I ought to do it.
Well.
There's the great Mento, all right. Lying face down with a knife in his back. You're right about trouble, Vance.
Yes, I know. Look at this door, Markham. It wasn't only locked on the inside with a key, it was bolted from the inside.
I'll get Sergeant Heath on the telephone immediately.
I think that can wait a moment, Markham.
Okay.
Take a look at this room. There's no other way a murderer could have gotten out except the door. And that was locked and bolted.
That window up there, Vance.
Too small to let anyone in or out. Besides, I think you'll find that that's locked from the inside, too.
I think you're right, Vance.
Yes, it is locked from the inside.
Well, this looks like a first-rate mystery, Markham. The position of that knife prohibits suicide, yet nobody could have gotten in here to kill our friend Mento. Or so it seems.
I go along with that definitely. Take a look around the room, Vance. There's the little stand that Mento brought out those silks and that fishbowl from. There's another table over there, and I guess that's all.
No question about that.
Vance, I have an idea that this is probably the most baffling case we've ever encountered.
No question about that either, Markham. I'm quite sure this case isn't going to be quite as easy to break open as that locked door was.
I'd be
caretaker. I am, Mr. Vance. That's right. You were in the right place.
I imagined I was when I saw those magic cabinets.
You build them?
Yes, that I do. They are illusion cabinets.
I'd like to see the inside of one. May I?
If you like, open the one in front of you. Oh, go ahead, open it. What do you see?
Well, to be honest about it, I don't see anything. Just the inside of a man-high cabinet, black satin lined.
How deep would you say it was?
I don't know. 5-6 inches. It seemed much deeper from the outside before I opened the door.
Well, it's 24 inches deep. Those two girls. See? One of them can easily fit in back of this rear satin. Allows the magician to change his assistants just like
magic. You're quite a craftsman, Mr. Baker.
Thank you. Yes, now it's my life work. Well, what is it you wanted, Mr. Vance? To purchase one of my illusions?
Not exactly. I'm here investigating the death of the great Mento. He was murdered in his dressing room last night with the door locked and bolted from the inside.
Oh, you are a policeman?
Not quite.
Vance. Oh, of course, Vance. You are Philo Vance. I should have known. I am honored, Mr. Vance. But what do you want with me?
Mr. Baker, I talked to Betty Anderson, Mento's assistant, immediately after the murder. She told me several things, among them one fact that brought me here.
She told you I quarreled with Mento?
That's right. Apparently, Mento told her when he returned from this workshop of yours.
He was not a good man, this Mento. You knew that.
That isn't what interests me, Mr. Baker. He is now a dead man. I want to know who killed him.
So? Newspapers say he was killed in the locked room with a knife in his back. That police are checking the knife for fingerprints.
Which they won't find. Anyone clever enough to have figured out this murder wouldn't be simple enough to leave his calling card.
Thank you.
Why thank me, Mr. Baker? I merely stated a fact.
You were very complimentary. You said the murderer was clever. For that, I thank you.
You're telling me that you killed Mento, Mr. Baker?
Oh, not exactly. I'm not that stupid. This I will tell you, Mr. Philo Vance. You were perfectly right about two things. There will be no fingerprints, and the murderer is clever. All his life he has dedicated to making devices which will fool people. This could be his masterpiece.
I'm not sure.
No? So it's a contest, then. A contest between your knowledge and the murderer's. That's fair. Mr. Vance, this I will tell you. If I killed him, and if you find out how I did it, I will admit it. But this I tell you, too. The papers say Mento died at 10:15 last night. That death was instantaneous.
The papers were correct. Man couldn't live 2 minutes with that knife in so vulnerable a spot.
I do not wish to complicate your work too much, Mr. Vance, but from 9:30 until midnight last night, during which time Mento was murdered, I was with friends. Reliable, reputable friends. Including a policeman whom I know.
And you didn't leave them even for a moment?
Not for a second. You see, Mr. Vance, execution of a crime is like building a magic cabinet. The effect is only perfect if the plans are perfect.
Of course, it's very possible that you didn't kill Mento.
I suppose so. But, Mr. Vance, I urge you, please do not believe that. I urge you not to believe anyone else murdered the great Mento.
This is District Attorney Markham. The magic murder case began when the great Mento, theatrical magician, was found in his locked dressing room, a knife planted firmly in his back. Nobody could have gotten into or out of the dressing room, yet Mento couldn't possibly have been a suicide. Vance and I have questioned Betty Anderson, Mento's assistant, and have found that Mento had quarreled with Pop Baker, a craftsman catering to magicians. Vance has gone to see him, while I have decided to continue questioning Miss Anderson.
I didn't kill him, Mr. Markham. I wanted to lots of times, but I didn't. Look at me. Do I look like a killer?
My experience as district attorney has taught me, Miss Anderson, that murderers rarely do look like murderers. That's what complicates my job and Sergeant Heath's and Philo Vance's. You've told me that Mento promised to marry you.
Yeah, sure he did in the beginning. And later on, he wouldn't be definite. He wouldn't say when. He wouldn't even say he wouldn't marry me. He's that kind of a man, Mr. Markham.
You're trying to tell me that even though he might not want something, he didn't want anyone else to get it either.
Only he'd said we were through, but he wouldn't marry me. Maybe then I could have been happy with Johnny.
Johnny?
I didn't mean to say that, Mr. Markham. I don't want Johnny brought into this case. He had nothing to do with Mento's death.
I think I might be a better judge of that than you, Miss Anderson. Who is Johnny?
He's a dancer. He works in the theater next door.
Oh, I must remember to tell Vance that. Miss Anderson, there is an element in this case we've never before encountered. The element of the locked door. It makes a puzzling case baffling.
Because the door was locked and bolted on the inside?
The door and the window, both. Now, I can remember watching a magician get out of a trunk that was locked from the outside. Perhaps this was the same trick in reverse.
I doubt that. The locked trunk trick is done with a false panel in the trunk. The magician removes it while he's inside and gets out that way.
You know all the tricks, Miss Anderson?
Most of them. I watch Mento expose them for over a year.
In that case, perhaps you can give him... Oh, hello, Vance.
Hello, Markham, Miss Anderson.
Any luck in your talk with Pop Baker, Vance?
I'm not sure. I got what practically amounted to a confession from him.
Pop Baker confessed?
I'm afraid I don't understand, Vance. What could it possibly be that practically amounts to a confession?
Well, he dared me to prove he did it, for one thing. He has an ironclad alibi for the time of the murder. I know it's ironclad. I just checked it.
And perhaps he didn't do it. After all, somebody stabbed Mento at 10:15. And if Pop Baker couldn't have done it, it must be somebody else who was our murderer.
That's completely logical, Markham. Unless Mento, the magician, was killed by magic.
You want me to build some special effects for you, Miss Anderson?
Yeah, please, Mr. Baker. I'll pay you for them. I want to do a magic act.
Like the great Mento?
No. I won't expose magic, Mr. Baker. You see, I was with Mento long enough to know how all its tricks worked. I can do them, too. But I'll need something big. Some big illusion for a finish. You can build it for me.
Undoubtedly, I can build it for you. But will I? No, I think not.
You've got to.
Oh, so it's a threat now. I've got to. Miss Anderson, perhaps you'd better...
Hello there.
Mr. Vance, why do you come here again?
You expected me to come, didn't you, Mr. Baker? What I didn't expect was to find Miss Anderson here.
I want him to build an effect for me, Vance. I'm going to do a magic act by myself now.
Really? That's quite interesting. Mr. Baker, I came back because I want to know a little more about magic. I promise you that unless the information affects this case, I'll reveal it to no one.
What is it you wish to know?
Well, let's take the sawing a woman in half trick. How did that work?
It has no harm to tell you. It has been exposed in theaters for years. Two girls are used. One the public sees when she climbs into the box that is to be sawed.
And the other?
The other is lying on the table the cabinet rests on. It doesn't look wide enough to hold a girl, but it is.
Illusion, eh?
Yes. After one girl climbs into the box, she tucks up her feet in the top half. The girl in the table puts her feet through the bottom half. And the magician then saws in between them.
Very simple, once it's explained, isn't it?
You saw Mento's act, you also saw a variation of the trick. He used a table similar to the one in the sawing a woman illusion.
So he did. He took several large dogs out of the tabletop. Thank you very much, both of you.
You're leaving, Mr. Vance?
Definitely. I'm quite certain this mystery is no longer a mystery. I'll be seeing both of you again very soon. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Vance. Now, Miss Anderson, we will talk about what you want me to build for you.
No, Mr. Baker, not right now. I didn't like the look on Vance's face when he left.
To me, it seemed a very satisfied look.
That's just it. I think he knows something. I think he knows everything. And I got to get out of here fast.
Here I am, Vance, just as you asked. Why did you want me to meet you here outside Minto's dressing room?
Why, Martin? Because I just left Pop Baker and Betty Anderson. And you are about to witness a dramatization entitled How the Locked Door Murder Was Accomplished. Oh, I see there's a new door fitted on Minto's dressing room.
Yes, a new door, a new lock and bolt. That was done earlier today, Vance. Why the dramatics?
We're nearing the finish of our case, Markham. I'm going in the dressing room. Give me one moment, then break down the door.
Break down the door? What for? Where will you be?
I'll be showing you how Mento was murdered. 5 seconds, Markham, then break it down.
Okay.
One, two, three, four, five.
I hope you're ready, Vance. Well, Vance, Hey, where is he? Vance, where are you? Vance?
Well, what is this?
Well, you can't be hiding. There's no place to hide. Vance, what is this? Where are you?
Right here, Markham.
Right where? Your voice seems to be coming from that table, but you couldn't possibly be hiding in that table top.
No, but I am Markham. And now I'm coming out of my hiding place.
Vance, that tabletop doesn't look deep enough.
No, it doesn't, does it? But it is. It's the same type of table I saw at Pop Baker's studio. Ready to make an arrest, Markham?
Of course, but I'm just as ready to hear how this solves Minto's murder.
I'll explain later. First, I've got to make a call. And then we've got to pay a call on a murderer.
Johnny.
Well, this is a surprise. Hello, Betty. What are you doing here at my place?
Johnny, get some clothes packed and get out of here fast.
What?
Don't stop to argue with me. Get some clothes together. I'll tell you all about this while you're doing it.
Now, honey, don't be so mysterious. What's this all about?
Okay. You'll want it your way, Johnny. Philo Vance knows you killed Minto.
Vance knows it? Well, that's interesting. I didn't know it myself. Brilliant guy, that Vance.
Don't try to fool me, Johnny. I know you killed him, and I know how you killed him.
Really?
That's right. Now, come on, let's stop this. Get packed, Johnny.
No, not yet. Why are you warning me about Vance, Betty?
Why shouldn't I warn you? You were in love with me, weren't you? Tried to make things easier for me. Okay, I'm paying off that favor now, Johnny. I'm telling you to get out before Vance gets here.
Well, what makes you so sure he's coming?
Because he left me at Pop Baker's a little while ago. I'm sure he figured out the false table gimmick. And he'll know it was you who hid in that false tabletop. He'll know you were in that table in Minto's dressing room while he and Markham were discovering Minto's body.
False tabletop? What's that?
Oh, Johnny, please, don't try to lie to me. I showed you that phony table. Showed you how it works weeks ago. Please, Johnny, Vance...
Never mind about Vance right now. Come here, Betty, darling. Come here. Come on, baby. Come over here. All right. I'll come over to you.
You keep away from me.
No, darling. I'm coming closer. Close enough, darling, to put my hand right on your throat. A few seconds more, darling. Just a few.
We'll put a stop to that. Come on, Markham.
I'm with you.
Neither of you is coming very much closer.
Look out, he's got a gun.
Come on. I'm holding his arm.
Let go of me, you dope and go.
This will take care of you, Johnny.
Well, Miss Anderson, apparently we got here at the right time. Catch her, Markham.
Oh, it's all right. I'm all right now.
Good. Well, Vance, what happens now?
We'll revive Johnny Davis and show him just how certain we are that he killed the great Minto.
We won't show him, Vance. You will. All I know is you called Pop Baker and found out Miss Anderson was on the way here. I'm going to learn about the details of this solution at the same time that Johnny is.
With Betty Anderson, but she wouldn't marry you as long as Minto was alive.
So what about it, Vance?
So you killed him.
So you say.
So he'll prove, too, Johnny, if past performances are any criterion.
They aren't to me. You can't prove a thing. Sure, I may have been a little rough with Betty when you walked in my apartment a while ago, but you can't hang for that.
Johnny, I'll admit that locked door on Minto's dressing room had me stopped temporarily. But it doesn't anymore. You were in that room, hiding in the tabletop while we were there. After we left, you left, with a practically perfect murder to your credit.
Pop Baker could have killed Beto.
That's what you wanted us to think when you hid in the table. You knew that eventually we'd figure out that this was a magician's way of killing a magician. And that we'd go straight to Baker. Fortunately, he had an alibi. But he couldn't resist trying to take a little credit for the murder. That was the showman in him.
Johnny, we have Betty Anderson ready to say you admitted killing Minto. Also, that you tried to kill her. And also, that she explained the false tabletop to you. We don't need your confession to get a conviction, believe me.
No? Okay. If you don't need it, you get it anyway. Yeah. Yeah, I killed Minto. What's more, I'd do it again if I had a chance.
Well, Markham, that's the statement we wanted him to make. Now I think I've a statement I want to make. This is the end of the magic murder case.
Join us every weeknight at 9:30 for the very best in dramatic radio entertainment. Tomorrow night, we present Freedom USA. On Monday, yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Tuesday, Mr. District Attorney. Wednesday, I was a communist for the FBI. Make a note to join us again next Thursday night for another story from the files of Philo Vance. And dial WGBI tomorrow night at 9:30 for Freedom USA. Preceding transcript.